The topic of my presentation is intensification of enzymatic bioprocessing of cotton by low-intensity uniform ultrasound field. And basically, it is just how to make enzymes work faster. And all that research was done in cotton chemistry and utilization research group. Why enzymes? Enzymes became more and more popular because they provide a set of very valuable properties. First of all, it provides very specific action on specific substrate. Second, they are act as catalysts. So basically, they are not consumed during enzymatic reaction. They can repeat and repeat their action. And third, very important, they are very environmentally friendly, because they are easily biodegradable. In general, enzymatic bioprocessing generate less toxic and ready biodegradable wastewater effluent, and considering that in many, many countries that more and more restriction and limitation of how much of toxic water and ever decreasing level of toxicity can be discharged in just rivers or lakes. However, enzymatic bioprocessing have several critical shortcomings that impede its wide acceptance, such as more expensive processing cost and, most important, slow reaction rate. Our research that was done in our center, like during maybe last 5-6 years, indicated that introduction of low energy uniform ultrasound field into various enzyme processing solution could greatly improve their effectiveness. That is the table of typical application of enzymes to treatment for treatment of cotton textile. It's quite familiar to you, so I will skip that and go to more interesting parts. Here is data I collected on internet about industrial enzyme market, and we can see that it's constantly growing, and but still it's only small. Okay, where am I? I can don't see my cursor.
Move the mouse.
I move, but it's okay here. It is only small portion of enzymes actually utilized by textile industry. Let's look a little more in how enzymes work, because the mechanism is quite complicated and I don't want to go into details, but what is important, we have four stages. First is transfer of enzyme macromolecule from aqueous phase to the substrate surface. Second, adsorption or locking of enzyme micromolecules onto the substrate surface. Catalytic reactions that take place on the surface of substrate and transfer of the hydrolytic reaction products to the aqueous phase. What is interesting, we can see that two stages involve transfer or movement of enzyme micromolecule towards the surface and product of hydrolytic reaction from the surface into the liquid phase. And problem with enzyme micromolecules, they are large protein macromolecules with quite large molecular weight in the range of ISO information, like from 50,000 to 200 or even more thousand daltons. So their nature, their diffusion rate is quite low. So idea, like a few years ago, I decided to try to find out some kind of mechanism that could help enzyme molecules to approach surface of solid substrates. And because I did some work before with ultrasound, idea was to use ultrasound. And later you will see why. But first I would like to kind of like briefly characterize properties of ultrasound. Here is ultrasound energy basically divided like low frequencies and high frequency ultrasound. What is important for us that low frequency dissipate most of the energy through cavitation mechanism and a little through heating of liquid. And high frequency is quite opposite. It's most energy dissipated through heating. And that is a just schematic picture of cavitation bubbles at different stages of its collapse. But more interesting, that is a beautiful picture. It is ultra-fast microphotograph of cavitation bubble that caught the, in the moment of collapse. And it is, you can see a creation of a jet of liquid that is here that will shoot into that direction. In, that is a small picture that shows how consequential growth of cavitation bubble and collapse when it's reached that critical size. Here is very important. Mostly ultrasound used in labs just for destruction of its destruction properties. And it is on the left, it is just a typical, how to say, device that used in most of chemical labs because that is just here it's a tip of the horn when it's immersed in the liquid, and you can clearly see that most of the overwhelming major part of that energy is dissipated in few cubic centimeters just beneath of the tip. So density of ultrasound energy here, it's about like 1 kilowatt per cubic centimeter, something in that range, depending how much, how powerful your sonicator is. And that is critically important to notice that value, because reason for that, if you introduce too much of ultrasound energy, you basically take chances with destructive properties of ultrasound, because when that cavitation bubble collapses, they generate that jets of liquid, which is very powerful. They have speed like about 500 meters per second or something like that. But on the other hand, that shock wave generated by cavitation bubbles collapsing on the surface of the solid substrate are in essence an ideal steering mechanism for immediate layer of liquid at the solid-liquid interface, where enzyme reaction take place. The powerful agitation of that border layer of liquid greatly improves transport of enzyme micromolecule towards the surface, because it helps them to overcome their inherently low diffusion rate. Here is kind of like, make it more clear, that is just solid particles and concentric layers of liquid. And here is a graph of the speed of liquid from the surface. We can see that first layer of liquid here have zero velocity, and it's quickly growing up, mostly up to the maximum, how to say, speed or velocity of liquid that is agitated by any mechanical or whatever device. So critically important to overcome that layer of liquid here, because that is where liquid is immobile. And why ultrasound is attractive? Because when you dissipate ultrasound energy in a homogeneous system, basically it will you will have distribution of cavitation bubble kind of like uniform. But when you deal with heterogeneous system, like for example fibers in liquid, most of cavitation bubble will generate it in vicinity of the surface of the fiber or any other solid substrate. And now we have certain mechanisms that help enzyme molecules. First of all, we help them to approach to the surface of solid substrate. Second, we help them to position itself fittingly, because they have active domains that should be locked onto the substrate. Sometimes we observe, for example, and I saw in literature, you have just adsorption of enzyme molecule on surface without any real action, which is not very good. And another mechanism that was suggested during some discussion, that that a jet generated by collapsing cavitation bubble actually can kind of like help in opening up of the surface of solid substrate, because of just mechanical, mechanical impacts of that micro powerful jets that hit the surface of the substrate. That is our old unit, because my data, I will present two set of data. One is before Katrina and second is after Katrina. That is what we did before Katrina. That is unit where we treated textile samples with uniform ultrasonic field. What is important here? Okay, textile samples was placed between a tool plate with attached ultrasound transducers. Pay attention that energy level is much, much lower. We have about 0.5, 0.8 watt per cubic centimeter. It's very different from normal, how to say, use of ultrasound when we deal with 100 watt, 1000 watt per cubic centimeter. I will skip that because it's mostly from my presentation on kind of like for different audience.
Who want to look at pretty women?
No. I
remember that she's here. So.
Yeah. No, mostly it is when I present that on ultrasound conferences, they don't have the knowledge of what the processes we deal with. So that is just data we received for influence of sanitation on enzymatic bioscouring of grayish cotton print cloth. And you can clearly see that is 600 seconds, it is a weekend time, it's just cut off time because in reality it's even more. And you need concentration of bioprep, it was enzyme with a special decrease that to make it that effect is more pronounced. And you can see that just treatment with treatment with enzymes barely only after we increase concentration up to 0.6 gram per liter, we start doing certain removal of waxes and pectins from the surface. With ultrasound, effect is much more pronounced and it start much more earlier. That is strange data we have here. We repeated that experiment a few times and still we have that hump, which we don't have any good explanation. Okay, that is example of using sanitation during enzymatic biofinishing of cotton. And here is effect of sanitation on enzymatic treatment of cotton print cloth. It's weight loss versus enzyme concentration. And you can clearly see that in case of sanitation of that enzyme solution, we have much higher efficiency of enzymatic treatment. Now, that is second part of my presentation related to work that was done after Katrina. We start doing some work in applying enzymes for converting of cellulose into sugars, which could be further converted into ethanol, which basically biofuel. But before I kind of like decided to look into that and what it's all about, what's the positive and negative aspect of that story. And that is the limits of corn-based ethanol. Current United States production of ethanol from corn is 5 billion gallons, data for 2006. But we use about 140 billion of gallon of gasoline. So it's tiny fraction. I would say, what, about 3%? Yeah. Interest, how much we need to harvest of corn, for example, to replace 30% of U.S. gasoline. We need 60 million acres. And what is available now, it's about only 39 million. Now, it is more interesting to look corn versus alternative crops. And a current cost of per gallon of for ethanol from corn, it's about $1. Depending on different estimation, it's rather. From cellulose, it's $2.25. So it's much more expensive to make that from cellulose. But energy in a gallon of ethanol compared with the amount of energy used to produce that, which is very important. In case of ethanol from corn, it's only slightly more, you gain in energy comparatively to what you have to spend to grow and harvest and produce. With cellulose, it's quite different. It is four times more energy you will gain from converting cellulose into ethanol. Here an interesting graph that I borrowed from, I believe, Texaco Corporation website. It is show cost of production of ethanol. It's very terribly working. Okay. It is from sugarcane, and that is the cost of oil per barrel, $30. So it's only sugarcane with $30 per barrel is competitive. With corn ethanol, cost should be like $60 per barrel. Now, when it's about $100 per barrel, we can move to cellulosic ethanol, which is now became quite competitive. Okay, here is a picture of our new unit. It's a hexagon sanitation reactor that can basically work with about 1 gallon of enzyme solution. And again, pay attention, it is, energy distribution is about even less, 0.3, 0.5 watt per cubic centimeter. Here is the data on enzymatic conversion of cotton lean trash into glucose. And you can clearly see that is with introduction of uniform low level ultrasound field, we have much better, much conversion of cellulose into sugars than with just a pure enzymatic action. Next graph is cotton gin trash. And in that case, it was a little more difficult because probably it has a little more hemicellulose. So we increased concentration of cellulose enzyme. We doubled that from 4 gram to 8 gram per liter. But still, you can clearly see, again, in both case, introduction of or sanitation of that enzyme solution with, was very beneficial to overall process. So conclusion, it appears that sanitation of the enzyme process and solution doesn't reduce the specific activity of enzyme micromolecules. Second, on laboratory scale, introduction of ultrasonic energy in the reaction chamber during enzymatic bioprocessing of cotton and cotton gin lean trash resulted in significant improvement in enzymes efficiency. We believe that combination of enzymatic bioprocessing with sanitation could significantly advance this new green chemistry process and make it more suitable for industrial implementation. And this could also greatly reduce the amount of toxicity and toxicity of wastewater and energy consumption. Also, I would like to emphasize that this study also have good potential for intensification of other technological processes that involve various types of specific enzymes and matching substrates. Because sanitation, it's not enzyme specific. It's just a general mechanism how to improve transport of enzyme micromolecule towards the surface of a solid substrate. So it should work basically in any combination of heterogeneous system which include enzymes and substrate. Thank you for your attention.
We have time for questions?
Good observation. We have still some data we have to publish. We don't publish because we got together Dr. Katina, showing that sonication you did in Hippocrates and said helped very much to extract everything, particularly solubles in chloroform at the time we did it, and make a much pure cotton fiber than if you use a, let's say, just as some of the chloroform high temperature scoring. And we did it at room temperature, remember, better than some gauges, and we got the curve going close to 90%. And by usual way, we got less than 50. So, as you said, much because of the intensification of the process by sanitation, we can apply it now.
Yeah, it's just general mechanism how to increase or intensify action of enzymes. But in my observation, it's only work for heterogeneous system where you have liquid phase with enzymes and solid phase. in a homogeneous system, when you have both substrate and enzymes kind of like in liquid, I don't see any advantages comparatively to just normal mechanical agitation.
Well, you have to think about it. I just talked with some people from your USDA in Florida. You can do reaction on a non-homogeneous system, for example, on chitosan and gel form.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Maybe you can do by combination because gel form reactions, it's heterogeneous, it's very slow and limited to very, how can I say, only on the surface part, right? Mm-hmm. You can get the side. I get that, you know, we can do.
Yeah, now we have new units, so we can do the a lot of interesting work.
Dr. Edward, particularly, uh-huh. Interesting to do that. What are the thermal dynamics of the sonic cation? Let's say you ran this sonic cation in a bomb calorimeter,
mm-hmm.
and measured delta H, delta G values. What do you think you would get?
You will get a rise in temperature of solution, and as such, you will get increase in general overall enthalpy of solution. But normally what we do, we kind of like remove that excessive heat generated by sonication, because we try to, it's beneficial normally. Because most of enzymes have optimal about 50 degrees Celsius and room temperature is 20, so you can get a little heating, free heating through that. But in our experiment, we try to, do experiment at the same temperature, so we basically use a special temperature just to control and keep temperature constant, just for comparison purpose.
Could this be efficient with a mobilizing enzyme?
What?
The sonication, if you have the enzyme
mm-hmm.
anchored on a surface and the sonication bubble circulating across the surface, would that, in your opinion, be efficient?
You will basically disrupt, it depends how much power you will pump into the system. If you will pump too much, you start disrupting their action on the surface, because you generate the cavitation bubble, they collapse, they shoot their jet of liquid, and if action is not finished yet, you basically kind of like take them out of the action. But if you have a low level, which I constantly emphasize, you have to work with uniform low-level sonication. In that case, small, additional agitation of that border layer of liquid actually help enzyme macromolecules to position correctly, properly, with their domain on the surface of substrate. Okay. Yeah, yes. We did work with biofinishing application. We just, normally after many laundry cycles, you have that protruding fibers that kind of give you like old, worn out appearance. So they use cellulose enzyme solution just to cut or chew up that protruding fibers. And we did that, and we have like 20, from 20 to 100% improvement depending on the type of fabric. It's worked better for a lightweight fabric and a little less efficient for kind of like broadcloth or some sort of heavy type of fabric. Yeah, we did that. But we did that before Katrin. Now we kind of focus more on that biofuel, conversion, biofuel application. Because a cotton, lint waste and gin waste, basically now it is agricultural waste that should be taken and spread on fields just to remove that from the facilities. So if we can convert that into additional biofuel, it will be very beneficial. Because already a lot of, money invested in growing of cotton. And so the gene and drug could be additionally utilized beneficially.